Raising an emotionally intelligent child. What is an emotionally intelligent child, and why do we want to raise one? And if we did want to raise one, how would we do it? There are several definitions of emotional intelligence, but we're going to use the one developed by Daniel Goleman, which is called the Emotional Competencies Model. In this definition, high emotional intelligence involves self-awareness, that is, the ability to read one's own emotions and recognize their impact while using gut feelings to guide one's decisions. Emotional intelligence involves self-management, which involves controlling one's emotions and impulses and adapting to changing circumstances. It involves social awareness, the ability to sense, understand, and react to other people's emotions, while comprehending social networks. And finally, it involves relationship management, the ability to inspire or influence and develop others and manage conflict. So there's four aspects of emotional intelligence that are mentioned in this model: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship management. Although there are other definitions of emotional intelligence, they all have something to do with understanding one's own feelings and the feelings of other people, and using those feelings to help advance one in life in many different areas. If a person has high emotional intelligence, they're going to function better in life than if they don't. A child who has high emotional intelligence will perform better academically. That child will do better in his schoolwork. He'll do better socially. He'll have more friends and better social contacts, less behavior problems at school and at home. He'll have better health. He'll have every measure of success be higher and better if he has high emotional intelligence. And that's why we want our kids to have that measure. Emotional intelligence is a gift in their life. It's going to help them succeed in childhood and in adolescence and in adulthood. Now, people are born with a certain amount of emotional intelligence in place, just like they're born with a certain amount of IQ, regular intelligence, in place. But we can stimulate and encourage the growth of more emotional intelligence, or, heaven forbid, we can retard the growth of emotional intelligence. Some of the things that parents do so naturally happen to retard the growth of emotional intelligence. So here are some of our favorite parenting techniques that could get in the way, and these are techniques that we're going to want to stop using. The first one is discounting a child's feelings. Discounting involves telling a child that what he thinks he's feeling isn't really what it is. We know better. So, for example, let's say a child gets all upset about something. We would tell the child, "It's not that upsetting. There's no reason for you to be that upset." In essence, we're telling a child, "You have the wrong feeling." Now, what's a child supposed to do with that information? The child feels something in his own body, in his own gut, in his own heart. The parent tells him, "You've got the wrong feeling." The result is a disconnect for the child. The child trusts the parent must know. Therefore, the child assigns the knowing of feelings outside of herself to the parent. The parent knows, "I don't know, I guess I'm wrong. I guess I can't trust myself. I guess I don't know myself or my own feelings." This is the exact opposite of emotional intelligence, in which a child does trust herself. She knows what she feels and what those feelings mean to her. That's one of the strongest measures of emotional intelligence. Therefore, we don't want to discount a child by telling him or her, "You've got the wrong feeling." Another way that we discount children is that we minimize the feeling that they have. So we tell them, "It's not so bad, it's not so terrible, it's not so upsetting, it doesn't call for so many tears, it's not that whatever, scary," whatever it is, we just tell them, again, in some form, that they should not be feeling what they are feeling. sometimes we parents discount a child with good intentions. You know, we're trying to calm them down. We're not trying to be mean to them. We're just trying to make bad feelings go away by letting a child know that the situation doesn't call for such bad feelings. The irony is that when we tell a child that she's got the wrong feeling, the child then has two bad feelings. She has the original wrong feeling, and then the feeling of shame or inadequacy for having the wrong feeling. So it's really not getting us anywhere to use the discounting technique. A more intense negative strategy that we parents use for feelings is punishing feelings. Sometimes it's not enough that we say to the child, you've got the wrong feeling, but we let the child know that we are very displeased by the feeling that he or she has. So, for example, somebody might say to a child, if you're going to have a sour, face on, then you're going to have to go to your room until you can come out and smile. So what we're telling a child, in essence, there is you will pay for being miserable. And that's a form of punishing a child for having a feeling. Now, you know, the child's misery is both internal and being here expressed externally in a so-called sour face. But the parent is looking at that sour face and saying, this is a feeling I won't accept. In many homes, parents don't accept the feeling of anger that children have. So, they'll say, well, if you're going to be mad, then you're going to lose this or that privilege or whatever it is, somehow we shut down that anger. Now, there's a big difference between a person's feelings and their behavior. Parents will want to shut down certain inappropriate behaviors. For example, a child who's angry, just feeling that feeling, that's an internal feeling, and we'd say in the world of emotions, just accept that feeling. But if the child is in fact kicking or throwing things or saying bad words or whatever, those are called behaviors. And it's true that not all behaviors are acceptable, and in fact, some behaviors can be disciplined. What we want parents to be careful about, though, is not to discipline or punish the feeling itself. Okay? Now, there's another technique in parenting that is known as the laissez-faire technique. And the work of John Gottman, in his book, Raising an Emotionally Intelligent Child, talks about different parenting styles, the discounting parent and the punishing parent and the laissez-faire parent, all who will retard the growth of emotional intelligence in their kids. The laissez-faire parent lets a kid have any feeling that he wants to and just stands back and does not guide or help or educate the child in any way, does not do anything with the feeling. This would be the case, for example, where a child of 8 years old has a major tantrum and is screaming and yelling and running around the house and tearing things. And the parent says to herself, well, I'm not going to suppress the child's feelings because I was suppressed when I was a child. Nobody let me express my anger. I'm not going to do that to my kid. And therefore, I'm just going to let her run around the house like that. Ironically, letting a child simply express feelings without any parental intervention causes the child to be frightened and overwhelmed by his own feelings. It's like the child gets totally out of control with that. Children need help with their feelings in order to become emotionally intelligent. So we don't want to discount or discipline or avoid feelings. If we want to help our children become emotionally intelligent, we can use a technique that's called emotional coaching. This technique involves two really simple steps, but they're not natural to us parents. We often do not use these steps in a natural way. We have to learn them. Most of us do. Maybe our kids will use them in a natural way after we spend 20 years, using them on them. But the feelings, the two steps are, one, name the child's feeling, and then pause. That's the second step, or I call it put a period after the naming of the feeling and call it period pause. Let me explain these two steps. First of all, name the child's feeling. By naming a feeling, we are helping a child to be in an accepting relationship with her own feelings. We're just saying, oh, here's the name of that feeling. the parent is acknowledging and accepting the feeling simply by naming it, and that gives the child the model of, oh, here's my feeling, whatever it is, I accept it, I name it, I acknowledge it, I see it, I welcome it. And this is the relationship we want the child to have with her feelings in order to be emotionally intelligent. The rule is really, feelings are just feelings. All feelings, whatever they are welcome. Not all behaviors are welcome. Some of them, as we mentioned earlier, are unacceptable, inappropriate, and need to be disciplined. But all feelings are welcome. The feelings of fear that we have as human beings, the feelings of sadness, the feelings of anger, feelings of confusion, and of course, feelings of joy and happiness. Think of it as there being five main categories of feelings. So we can say happy, sad, mad, scared, and confused. And of course, there are millions of shades of feeling in each one of those. And, you know, so we can refine our child's feeling vocabulary by using shades of feelings, words like, well, upset is another, you know, kind of in the fear category or in the anger category. But we have words like irritated, annoyed, insecure, worried, anxious. You know, these are shades of the different categories. Now, children have feelings from the time they get up in the morning till the time they go to bed at night, and many times parents simply ignore the feelings. Instead of ignoring the feelings, the parents can name the feelings. Let's say a kid gets up and says, I don't want to go to school today. I'm too tired. Lots of times a parent will ignore that feeling and just say, tough, get up and get going. You know, you're going to be late, get to move on it. We just roll over the feeling. If you want to help your child be emotionally intelligent, you always name the feeling before you do your regular parenting intervention. So in the end, yes, it will be tough. Yes, the kid is going to go to school, but we're not going to say it like that, and we're not going to say it first. The first thing we do is acknowledge the way the child's feeling by naming his feelings. Naming the feelings is something simple. We just look at the child's face, listen to their tone of voice, their body language, get the words, right? And we say, what is the kid saying? And whatever the child is feeling, we as parents have had that feeling too, because all people share the same realm of emotions. We know what that child's feeling. Did we ever have a day when we didn't want to get out of bed? Of course. You know, did we have a time when we didn't want to go to work? Yes. A day when we didn't want to go to school? Definitely. So we know what the child's feeling. And we can say something to the child like, oh, I know, honey, you just want to stay under those covers. You don't want to get out of that cozy bed and go to school. I know what that feels like. And then we go, period, pause. You see, this is the trick in emotional coaching, because a lot of us want to use the word but. We want to say, but that's tough, get up, it's time to go to school, get moving. Okay, and the word but acts as an eraser, eradicating all of the value of the emotional coaching that we just did earlier. It just wipes it out completely. So we don't want to use that word but. We're going to put a nice period and a pause after every statement of feelings. And then we'll go on to our next sentence. The trouble is, sweetheart, we do have to go to school today. And, you know, after that, we can do problem solving and comforting and education and all kinds of things that we would normally do. Maybe when we come home, we could make it, have a treat or do something nice to cheer you up or have something to look forward to. You know, there's ways to help feelings. Just because we have a feeling doesn't mean that we're not going to school or that we're not going to swimming lessons, etc. Let's say that the child has a fear. I don't want to take my driving test. I'm really afraid. I don't want to take it. I know I'm going to fail. Oftentimes, parents will want to talk the child out of their feelings. Don't be ridiculous. Everything will be fine. You're an excellent driver. Let's just go. Instead, the parent names the feelings. Oh, you're scared, eh, honey? You're worried about that? You're not sure if you're going to pass? It is kind of unnerving. Period, pause. And then again, whatever problem solving that the parent wants to do, they can do. So the parent might say, Do you want more practice? Is there something we can do to help? You know, the parent can do some problem solving after that period pause. Let's say the child expresses insecurity or a sort of a sad feeling. The child says, oh, I'm so fat. A lot of times parents want to talk the child out of the feeling, so they'll say, you're not fat. In fact, don't even talk like that. That's ridiculous. You're perfectly normal weight. You're beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Instead, we have to go against our natural inclination to discount the child, because that's really what we're doing here. We have to go against our natural inclination to talk the child out of unpleasant feelings and instead welcome the unpleasant feeling. Name it and welcome it. This is the trick in emotional coaching, to accept these kinds of painful feelings. The irony is that by accepting the feeling, it clears out of the system right away. When we don't accept the feeling, it stays there and haunts us forever. So if the parent would say something like, well, honey, you sound kind of discouraged or unhappy about the way you look. That sounds upsetting. Period. Pause. The child will often self-correct. Well, it's not so bad. It's just that my tummy's a little fat. And the conversation can proceed from there. The parent, again, acknowledging what the child's saying. Oh, I see, honey. You think your stomach's a bit fat? And the child, you know, will say, well, it's not too fat, you know, but I just don't like the way I look. And the parent acknowledging that. Yeah, I know. It's, you know, it's hard not to like the way you look. It's just not comfortable. With each line, the parent's simply accepting what the child is saying. That's what professional counselors do, and we pay them a lot of money to do that, because nobody else in the world will do that. And in fact, when the professional counselor does it, the person's emotional intelligence develops. You can do that for your child as a parent. Simply name the feeling, pause, okay, period, pause, and then go on to your other interventions. Try this out and see how it goes. At first, your children will think you're a little bit strange if you haven't been doing this technique. And you can tell them, yeah, you know, I don't think I ever really paid serious attention to you before. I'm just listening to you now. You have to name a feeling with sincerity, okay, with authenticity. Because if you just kind of name it coldly, people resent that. Have you ever been really upset and you're really, really upset and you're telling your spouse or something, your spouse says in a very clinical, cold voice, I see you're upset. You know, then you want to punch them in the nose. So it has to be that you really think for a moment, what is that child's feeling? Have I ever felt something like that? Can I relate to that feeling and name that feeling from an authentic place? Try it and see how it goes.